It starts with Radha and Krishna. Krishna is very compassionate. We take a step towards him, he'll take 10 towards us. We just try to do some service. He'd be very happy, very protective. His great devotee, Prabhupada, Swami Bhaktivedanta, went alone to please his Guru Maharaj. Now, we know the story, but if you really think about what this is, we most of you have come here with this wonderful mandir, this temple already intact. Most of you have come here with mridangas and kartals and so many volumes of books that Prabhupada has translated while we were sleeping. Prabhupada has his faith in Krishna. Even more so because his godbrothers didn't think he was going to be successful. They more or less humored him. Don't forget, he was not one of the big, big leaders. He was a grihastha who did a lot of valiant service for the Gaudiya Mutt. His service was recognized, but he was not one of the great leaders that was sent previously. He wanted sometimes some people to accompany him. No. They just humored him. Now, here's already 70, 71, not young. Didn't know anybody. If his godbrothers had honored him or encouraged him, it would have been much easier. He had to go with his perseverance and great faith. And then, as you know, he suffered some heart strokes. Now, I don't know if anybody here has suffered any heart strokes, but I did. That happened in 2002. It isn't very pleasant, especially if you don't have anybody there. There's nobody there. Cold, alone, the ship listing, not just raindrops, but pillars of rain, like we heard last night, pillars of rain rocking the ship. So we met Sally Agarwal at the Festival of Inspiration in New Vrindavan. And even after the Swami had arrived, and now he was somewhat situated in Butler, Pennsylvania, he still was basically alone with his faith in Radha and Krishna. They were very happy to have the Swami in their presence, especially when he started cooking. She said he had this kind of gadget where it would have many layers, and he would just cook first the rice, the dal, and then the rice, and then the vegetable. She asked if the Swami could cook all the time after she tasted his prasadam. She saw, like a child, this amazing Swami gliding across the kitchen with golden lotus hands and gracefully preparing this sumptuous feast from practically nothing. He was in Butler, Pennsylvania, getting the idea of what America is like. What is America like? So he went down. He heard there was a preacher preaching in a coal mine. Nice to see you. Hare Krishna. And Gokulananda is guiding him. He's seemingly alone, but he had this great strength and great faith. No movement, no anything. Old man. So, heavy accent. We had to get used to Prabhupada's speaking, and then he's... Jai Gokulananda. Radha Gokulananda ki jai. He's writing. He's learning English. He goes down into the mine, and the preacher, he's saying, you have to worship Lord Jesus or you'll go to hell. It was like a scare tactic. That's why we like Vaishnava so much, because if there's any guilt, it's our guilt. If it's any fear, it's our fear, because Krishna is very loving. He just wants us to do our best. He doesn't want to be a vindictive God. He doesn't want us to be God-fearing souls, as they say. He's a God-fearing soul. So, if you don't worship God, Lord Jesus, you'll go to hell. Well, the miners, they were very simple folks. Very simple folks near the Appalachian Mountains of the United States. And they said, well, what is this hell like? We don't know. So the preacher said, the hell is deep into the ground and it's very hot and fiery. And well, they thought, well, this is our everyday working condition. We're going down deep into the mine and it's fiery hot. So we're not afraid of hell. So they said, well, this is our working condition. That's not any great thing. So the preacher said, well, there's no newspapers in hell. He found out what was attractive to them. And their entertainment was newspapers. Okay. So the Swami got an idea of what this preaching was like. And he realized that, you know, Krishna is all attractive. It doesn't have to just be a newspaper. And Sally Agarwal was so sweet when she said, I saw the Swami leave for New York, and we were very frightened for him. Because New York will eat any place alive. New York is a very horrendous place. it's overcrowded and everybody doesn't want to get involved. And she said, we were afraid for the Swamiji. We saw him get on the bus with his orange robes, and of course he had more books than clothes. And that is a phenomena as you become a devotee in Krishna consciousness. You might write some books. Prabhupada likes that. Krishna likes that. They were afraid for him as they saw him get in the bus. She said, I was, and this is in New Vrindavan, in a beautiful temple with devotees and well-wishers coming from all over the United States and Europe. And she said, we were afraid for the Swamiji as he got into the bus, but I guess he did all right. So I guess he did all right, because there he went with equivalent 40 rupees, $7. And this manifestation of the previous land of barbarians, Gauls, Saxons, Normans, Romanies, all sorts of people vying, has grown into a beautiful, pristine, Krishna-conscious place. Even this microphone, I see this all as a manifestation of Prabhupada walking and going on that bus and suffering the heart attacks and going on still. And your manifestation, and this is a manifestation, all the cars were riding around in the suites, and he had very little, and look how this has blossomed and is blossoming. So he had this faith, and he met one of our wonderful members, Mukunda Maharaj, and we're going to send, I thought it would be good to send a greeting from the British Yatra, a get well card. We're going to film it on the big day, and we're all going to wish him well. I thought that would be a good idea to help him heal. Mukunda was a cool cat. Is a cool cat. He wore a beret and sunglasses and did arrangements for the top jazz artists of New York City. So, I mean, the jazz artists are the coolest of the cool cats. So he was hanging out with the coolest of the cool cats. And he's very cool, because cool can be translated into transcendental. Sam Mishunda was talking about how Mukunda was kind of like, we were doing this and that and this and that, but Mukunda was always equal poised. He was always balanced. He was our balance, Sam Mishunda thought. So like all of us, he fell in love with the Swami. I mean, at least for myself, I was not looking for a movement. I had already been in a movement, in the civil rights movement, and I saw how movements decay. I saw how groups decay. I saw how people decay after they get interested in something, and then they get comfortable, and then they get titles, and then they get property, and then they get money, and then their original zeal and hunger and building, we're going along. Mukunda fell in love. Janaki fell in love. What a team. Janaki was no awe and reverence for the Swami. There's just a Swami. She would walk in and not knock on the door. She wouldn't bow down. Actually, nobody bowed down. Do you know why nobody bowed down? Because the Swami didn't tell us to bow down. He sat on the altar. There was no Vyasa-san in San Francisco. He sat on our altar with bongo drums, no mridangas, bongo drums, these clunky kartals that we tried to make in a gun foundry. I mean, you want to hear the kartals do it 13 seconds at least. Ding! Like in novelty. These went clunk. Mukunda, he tried. We went to a foundry. This is a service of Mukunda. So what that it didn't turn out as nicely? So what? The intention was there. That's how we learn. We learn by our mistakes. Well, we'll go to a different foundry next time. We'll do different. Well, we heard there's a different thing called, instead of gunmetal, a different kind that rings more. And Mukunda came from New York in our midst, and he was actually very impressive at that time because he was already doing some of the things that the Swami had taught him. So we were like, oh, look at that. And so he was like a Siksha guru, definitely, because he was from New York with the Swami. When the Swami came at the airport, again, Mukunda just embraced him. What we were talking about embracing last night. The Swami didn't tell us to bow down, and he didn't tell us about Vyasa-san. So Mukunda embraced him with this entourage of hippies, beatniks. We were wearing Mexican serapes and Native American feathers and Japanese. This entourage, and all the cars were painted. Hare Krishna. On the car, the Krishna. We had a Krishna lack, a Cadillac, the Krishna lack. We had a Cadillac for the Swami, the Krishna lack. So Mukunda was very, very impressive. And he and Jamuna were very close. They had gone to school together. In fact, Samarshan, they all went to Reed College. They were friends from high school times. Fortunately, Jamuna liked me more than Mukunda. I mean in that way, which is really a blessing because I simply picked up Krishna consciousness really by osmosis spilling off of her, even in the early days. So here's this very impressive cool cat that now has become a yogi, but he's still cool. And Samarshuddha, this guy comes from, as hippies, we all thought this would be a really good job, what Samarshuddha was doing, overlooking a forest in nature to see if there's fires. And a few times you mark a few things in a book all day, but you, first of all, who could do this? It sounds nice, but it's almost like being in solitary confinement. Jack Kerouac wrote about the experience in his books. He also was one of these rangers for a while, and Gary Snyder. So it also takes a rare person to be able to even do this job, even though we all wanted to do that as hippies. Yeah, that's a good. But to actually do it, you really have to be in touch with nature, and you have to be with yourself a lot. And then this motorcycle girl came, and that was Malati, and she joined him. I don't know too much about Malati before she became a devotee, but I heard she was a motorcycle chick. That's a Now, you see, the civil rights movement got me ready. Somebody was telling me the other day, you had more than one acharya. The civil rights movement was also an acharya because it gets you really ready. They told you, they told me categorically, boy, if you come into town, they had these big, they were on these pickup trucks with rifles and dogs, pit bulls and rifles. Boy, well, this wasn't the... This was, okay. I don't know if you know what the Ku Klux Klan is, but it's 3 K's, and we have better K's than they do. But they had 3 K's. And so, it was the mayor and the chief police with their hoods off. They wore hoods to disguise themselves and burn crosses on people's lawns to scare them, and they were scary. We were in a church organizing a march, and it was planned by Martin Luther King's Southern Leadership Conference and the young people, SNCC. We were the young people, and we didn't take any funds from governments. We were the rebels, and so we were really able to get a lot of things done. And Martin Luther King was good, but he was a little bit limited by something. So we were ready. So they come in. We're in the church planning this, and they come there in trucks with rifles and pit bulls, and they said, boys, if you come, not men, but we were all boys, including the women, boys, if you march tomorrow, we're going to kill you. If you march tomorrow, we're going to kill you. And big loudspeakers and the lights on the church, like all the trucks, in the windows, loud lights. Well, we also had our mantras. We shall overcome, and ain't gonna let no police dogs turn us round. And this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Even in Macon County, I'm gonna let it shine. The whole civil rights movement changed when the music came. When the freedom songs came, we became strong and courageous. And we sang and marched, and they didn't kill us. So I had that background, and then Samarashinda had that background, and Janaki, and then Jamuna, who, she was studying calligraphy with the top calligraphist, Lloyd Reynolds. And one of my friends, he was in the so-called friends. Devotees are friends. Well, devotees can be your friend. My so-called friend, he was in the Black Panthers. And he had a saxophone case with him. So I thought, oh, I remember he used to be a musician. So you're still playing the sax? He says, no, I'm taking food out of people's refrigerators and putting it in my saxophone case. Oh, okay. So he was a hustler. He was just taking stuff from people. And there was a really good friend of mine. She was the Earth Mother. And she said, I want you to meet someone. And she took me across town and she introduced me to Jamuna. So my friend SCR, the Black Panther, was still with me. But I met Samarashinda and he was very friendly. He was very friendly. I think Malati zipped through, you know. Psst. Psst. I think somebody was hip. Even then, service, service, service. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do. Irregardless of anything else. And of course, that's how we got things done. So sometimes you have to ask forgiveness rather than permission. And then Jamuna comes in and she had a very straight back like a yogini. She put two pieces of incense in a little hole in the wall, like, and then she walked out. Well, there's a thing they say in Sicily, the thunderbolt hit. It's like, oh, I'm really in love with that woman. And I don't know if anything will happen, but I mean, it's not an intellectual decision. It wasn't some college course. It's like, whoa. And she left. So I say to my friend, I said, SCR, that was his name. I said, SCR, don't take any grits. I had to talk black slang. Don't take any grits out of this chick's, we called it icebox back then. Icebox, that dates us, icebox. Don't take any food out of this chick's icebox. She's opened my nose. Open nose is a black slag it's really good because it shows what happens. Your nose and eyes dilate when you fall in love. It's a very good, she's opened my nose. He left. She comes again. Well, whatever Gurd has said to impress her, I don't know what I said, but for some reason it worked. You know, Krishna teaches you to be a patient, you not be too obvious. And so we stayed up all night talking and getting to know one another. And so soon I moved in, and she and her room was very eclectic. She had a pottery shop in North Beach. She was running, she learned how to make pots as well as calligraphy. And she was kind of a lead singer of a rock band. But the rock bands, Mick Jagger said they're either families or gangs. So this was a gang and didn't stay together. Which was all right with me because we then discovered what we liked about each other and got to know each other. Now, we have to understand that these were the psychotropic days of the 60s. There was LSD and peyote and STP and everything was available just on the street. You could, and but for the spiritual seekers, it wasn't just getting high. It was I was taught by the mentors. Timothy Leary taught me set and setting, which means be in a very nice place with a guide. Because this is a mimicking of psychosis. It's called a psychomimetic, which means that you're mimicking your barest psychotic states of self investigating and assessment. And it isn't always fun, so you want to make it nice. And you want to have people there who know things and everything like that. And then the peyote meetings, they were taught by the American Native American leaders how to do it. It's not just get high, guy. There's a road, and there's an all-night ceremony, and there's a teepee. And then I went down to Mexico and met the queen of the Brujas, the mushroom lady, Maria Sabina, the famous Bruja. And she taught me for 3 days how to do this, not just get high, boy. And so Jamuna, you know, Sam Mashinda, I remember I was stashing some of these psychotropes in underneath the house. And I met Sam Mashinda there. He was stashing. That's the second time I met him. We were both stashing our psychotropics. Then I go there. He's in a room. He's building a stairway to the ceiling, listening to Bobby Dylan. Okay. So the point is that Jamuna and I were discovering things. There was a yogi, a Master Subramanian. He wanted us to join him. He was really copying the Vedic system, but he was doing it in his Western way. He called Odic and Atmic, material and spiritual world, Odic and Atmic. He wanted Jamuna and I to join, but he said, you know, I really like you both, but could you come here when you're not high on something? And we said, oh, we took peyote for breakfast, sorry. So he got disenchanted, no pun intended, with us because, oh, we forgot we're going to meet you. We that's what we do pretty much every day, you know. What? He was on Haight Street, and he said, why did you leave me? Because he heard I was joining Swami Bhaktivedanta, and he was crying, and he said, why did you leave me? And I said, I didn't leave you. I'm just going with him. Now, I don't know what I meant either. Krishna told me to say that. And he stood there like that, and I left. I don't know what it meant, but now you see, already Krishna is already pulling Chaitra Guru all over the place. So we said, psychic, psychic, you know. Vishnujan said, ah, oh, the pink glow around the prasad on the psychic. And Prabhupada said, eat, eat. Just eat. Oh, the psychic pink glow is around the prasad. He said, Swami's feet. Just eat, like a Jewish mother. Eat, eat. Okay. So, those were the days. So I went with the Swami and not him. And Chaitra Guru is important. Here's a story about Chaitra Guru. Some years later, thanks due to Radha Gokulananda and Prabhupada, now we're going to Vrindavan. I asked Prabhupada if I could go to Vrindavan in 1967, and he remembered. And he sent me. But we're in Egypt in this airplane that only had two engines, like Casablanca airplane, two engines. And it was Brothers Airline something service. It was one of our God brothers from Luxembourg. And it was an Arabian airline. And the cockpit was just separated by this old blanket. There was no door. And there was people carrying goats and chickens and all sorts of animals. And Giriraj, fresh out of Boston, they were very austere. I used to kid them that you in Ishtagoshi, you divided up the garbanzo bean. That's how Satsprabhu Rupa would get the right part, and you would get the middle, and Jadarani would get the left part of the garden. They were the strictest temple. So he wouldn't look at anything. He says, Maya's every place. Maya, he was just not. Well, I said, and he's saying, Maya's out there. And I said, well, it's certainly in here. And at that point, somebody regurgitated in the airplane, in the cockpit, the blanket is going like that. And well, I saw that this person needs to lighten up a little. So I told him a kind of like a bunch of Prabhupada jokes, that jokes Prabhupada had done, like Nandarani done. Oh, you should adopt me. We will adopt you for the immigration. They will say what you're doing with such an old son. And he was always quipping. And, oh, you look so beautiful today, Swamiji. Just today? You know, he was very fast. You never knew. That was so delightful. What adventure is he going to take us on? What door is he going to open? This was an old man, but he was so much fun to be, well, most of the time, so much fun to be around with. No, even the chastisement is caressing. It's a lesson. There's a nice story about registering the society in this, and where Prabhupada is very strict until I get the society registered. And then he actually said, it was a legal thing. The founder acharya shall have full veto power. The second line is, no, the founder acharya is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. The second line was, the first line was, the founder acharya is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The second line is, the founder acharya has full veto power, which is, he had full veto power. But Prabhupada was so perfect. I saw how he looked at things. He said, who's the founder acharya? There's no name here. You? He said, who's the founder acharya? You? Well, he could be right. Legally, if I didn't put his name again, I could have put my name. Then he said, you, and then he said, Brahmananda? Poor Brahmananda got zapped 5,000 miles across the ocean for something he had done years ago in New Vrindavan when he said Prabhupada's God. And Prabhupada had to teach us a lesson that I'm representative of God. Because if I'm God, when I leave the planet, then you'll become God. Is that what you mean? And you're simply a handle, and you're going to put a blade on, an axe blade, and you're chopping down our whole tree. So he sent them away for preaching that he's God. So he's teaching us. So he said, who's the founder, Acharya? You, Brahmananda? So he said, get this changed. Well, it was the weekend. He asked me to ask the ambassador of the United States to give us a free house on the weekend, and his wife threw me out of the house, seeing our robes, my robes, and I waited for him in the driveway. And he said, why are you waiting in the driveway? I said, well, I wanted to talk to you, and your wife threw me out. He said, come back. And he had this little man cave way in the backyard. And he said, yes. And I said, my guru said, could you, well, there's a lot of American disciples here, can you give us a free apartment? And he said, no, his machinations are going. I said, well, plan B is that we'll pay for an apartment in any currency of the world. That was Prabhupada's plan B, you know. So I got it changed, and I'm crying. And he said, I didn't think you're acharya, but I could have. So he's teaching the lesson. I could have thought that. Personalism. We got to introduce and acknowledge each other and not take things for granted. So here's back to the Chaitra Guru story. Please excuse me for jumping around in an unchronological order, but actually Gokulananda is, and Prabhupada is guiding what I'm saying now. I don't plan. So here we are in Egypt, and Giriraj isn't looking at anything. The two-engine plane has landed, and I was in charge of 17 of the creme de la creme of devotees, the second wave that Prabhupada asked, Dinanath. So many devotees, very talented, we're all there. And I'm going in to make sure that all the suitcases and everything are transferred, because this is a very, this airline was very suspect. So I'm making sure that, are they going to lose our luggage? And the devotees are trying to figure out what to do. I remember Rishi Kumar gave his winter coat to an Arab. Meanwhile, Giriraj is out of Maya, and he leads the other 16 out onto the tarmac where the airplanes are, and he starts chanting. Well, this is even before all this 9/11 and security stuff, and even back then, you just don't chant where the airplanes are. You go into the thing and wait. Yeah, but that's nothing. This was the day after their president, Nasser, was assassinated. So the whole country was in disarray. There was big, huge, from ceiling of the airport to the ground, of President Nasser. And there's black all over. Black. Everybody's in mourning. You can imagine. It was like when President Kennedy was assassinated, the whole country was in disarray. And I don't know if you ever experienced something like that here, but you can empathize with that. That the leader, I mean, it was like their Prabhupada. So they're all in disarray. And Giriraj is out there, and they're dancing and chanting, oblivious to everything. Well, I finished making sure bag and baggage is secure. And I had my Super 8 camera. Prabhupada asked us, bring equipment to India. I had my Super 8 camera. And I'm saying, oh, look, the devotees are chanting. They're in the airport. But I thought I would set the scene, so I did. President Nasser, all black. You can kind of see people walking around like in an insane asylum trying to figure out what to do in their life. The leader's dead. And suddenly I'm filming, devotees are chanting, and I see some soldiers running at the devotees with red eyes, drooling, with bayonets on the end of their rifles, charging towards the devotees. Chaitra Guru says, Gurudas, go there in between them. It's really funny because Yadavara had this, the film I took, and it's there's the devotees chanting, and then you see the camera go boing, boing, boing. You see the airport tarmac, and you hear stuff, and the camera's going all over because I just can't let it go by the side. And I get between the soldiers. Now, Chaitra Guru told me to do this. I said, we are singing the praises of President Nasser. The soldiers turned and put their rifles up and became our guard. They said, sing as long as you like. So, that's Chaitra Guru, and so many times. So now the Swami is there in San Francisco, and there's some very nice people coming around. Very nice devotees coming around. Madhavisa Maharaj. There was a sampradaya for 3 days. Not a sampradaya, but kind of a fashion statement, where Madhavisa and 2 other people shaved their heads and left their beards. Actually, Achyutananda one time says to Prabhupada, Gurudas should wear a yellow robe. Why? Why? Because he's a grihastha that preaches like a sannyasi. Prabhupada made a face like he ate a macrobiotic prune. Like, you know, there's enough separations and ashramas. And it's really not a separation because we're really working with each other. And that's the beauty. We're supporting each other. But that was a ridiculous. Suddenly there'd be a new group of yellow robes. So, you know, Prabhupada squashed that. Tomorrow comes Vishnujan. Devotees are coming like anything. We're part of the fabric. Everybody who was taking LSD, the Krishna temple is a beautiful place to come down after your trip. Because everybody sang and ate breakfast after, you know, breakfast prasadam. So we had a large breakfast congregation of people who were tripping all night. And we kind of knew, and so we'd welcome them there. But sometimes they'd come in on guard, and I'd have to kick them out of the temple. This one guy, he was about 7'4". No, you're not God. Okay, get. All sorts of people would come in, and Prabhupada was cool. Sometimes they'd interrupt the kirtan. Sometimes they'd bring toilet paper. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Prabhupada would direct the girls sometimes. Dance this way. The Swami step. Cover that girl. Cover. No, we even did it here. That was the precedent. Saradhya's friend. She became a devotee, but she was spilling out of her dress. Cover that girl. Here, on the top of the pops, George loved it. We were on the telly. Well, this was the second time. Tops of the Pops. Back then, I think there was only 2 stations, BBC and ITV, and maybe 3, right? 2 or 3 only. So everybody in England was watching Top of the Pops, even the old folks. It was the music show, and it was the new music. So, I mean, I remember watching British TV, and you were subjected to whatever they had. And it wasn't that much. It wasn't like America, bread and circus, recreation. Bombard you with Maya. So we were on Top of Pops, and it was live. And we already had a successful program. And I think this was Govindam. And that had reached the 9 in the charts, which is pretty incredible for an unprofessional new group. And Hare Krishna mantra also was very successful and went behind the Iron Curtain. It was number 3 in Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia back then. So it was very successful, and it was on Top of the Pops. So I had slides of Krishna and Radha and Prabhupada. We had slides, and this now we had a contingent. We filled the stage. Because devotees were coming and coming to this yatra because it's such a wonderful place. The first thing I noticed about here was people are so polite. And Cindy said, people are so polite here. I remember I dropped something and somebody said, sorry. I'm thinking, why are you saying sorry? That's pretty empathetic. But it's indicative. So, here we are on Top of the Pops. And it was the time of the go-go dancers. So we're all, now there's about, that's why we had to move to John Lennon's estate. Now there's about 36 devotees filling the stage. We had tamboras and everything. Just, and slides. And so we're starting. Govindam, Venum Kanvantam, Madhavindat. And these go-go girls are getting in bird cages and they're dancing like that. In Canterbury Street fashion, like shiny, whatever. Any rate, revealing shiny stuff, gyrating. So I'm the president of the temple then, and I say, I said, no, this just won't do. Like they said to Mukunda, Mr. Grant, this cart is too heavy. This just won't do. Well, I said, this won't do. Anyway, the man says, well, but it's a live show. What are we going to do? It's a live show. I said, I don't care what you do. Let's go. Well, immediately, Jamuna's packing up her stuff. Everybody's packing up their instruments, putting the slides away. I'm the president. They didn't care. They weren't out for fame or fortune. They were just doing another service. So everybody was ardently. They're just packing up. And the man is seeing this, and he knew we were serious. We're not bluffing. He says, what am I going to do with 4 minutes of blank time? I said, well, I don't know. And maybe you should worship the impersonal Brahma Jyoti or something. Well, he doesn't know what I'm talking about. What's he talking about, Brahma Jyoti? So a Chaitra guru comes in and says, get cloth and we'll teach these women how to wrap saris, and we'll teach them the trance step, the swami step, the trance dance. The women loved it. They could go from gyrating to just, they were like sheaves of wheat. They were so happy. The man was happy. The producer was happy. Chaitra Guru. We went to another thing in Amsterdam. There's the painting in the office there. Prabhupada on his cane, leaning peacefully. The studio was underground. Prabhupada said there's going to be some people in the future who will never see the sun. In the future. Yes? He was telling us that. For some reason, a lot of the television programs put dry ice in front of us all the time to make it look mystical. So there's dry ice spewing smoke-like things. We go to the airport, and Prabhupada would have us number his luggage. That's how perfect Virgo Swamiji. Gurdas, you get number 3. Gurdas, you take this white bag. That's when I knew the white bag had all the bank accounts and all the papers of the movement. He carried it, like I said, like Queen Elizabeth carries her pocketbook, you know. He had his white bag there a lot. So we didn't have money. There was some airport tax. Something, Samarasinda said something else. And we were all running around, and Prabhupada was just peaceful on his cane like that. So it was really nice to go places with Prabhupada. He would say, come on, let's go. and we would end up at a 56 Chopin a Bogue feast someplace. Or there was one man, I won't mention his name, but he was in England, and he invited us to his house. So we get to his house, the six of us, and there's three people there and a baby and a dog. Well, when the performers outnumber the audience, it's not really a great sign, don't you think? And the prasadam was so to such a way that Jamuna actually, we heard her throwing up in the bathroom. So on John Lennon's estate, we said, we're not going to go to this. And then he wouldn't give any dakshina. It was just like, well, it was all right, but if we knew, we might have planned better or you'd have started time better. Well, he comes into Prabhupada's room in John Lennon's estate and invites Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says, yes, we will go. So Jamuna said, Prabhupada, prasadam was the worst. I was throwing up. And Makunda said, well, and I go in and said, well, you know, it's a waste of our time. I don't think you should go. And he said, but I must say yes, and you must say no. That's an interesting dynamic. One time, Prabhupada said, that man, he might become a life member. Go ask him. And I said, well, Prabhupada, if you asked him, surely he would. He said, no, you ask him, because he might say no, and I don't like anybody to say no to me. Even the humanists of Prabhupada were walking up the stairs after a morning walk in Bury Place, and he says, oh, I have made a mistake. What mistake? I usually put my mittens here at the base of the stairs, and I have them in my hand. To Prabhupada, that was a mistake. He was so perfect. People say perfect these days, and I point out there's no perfection. It's the world of duality. It's like when you say no problem, it's based on a problem. So you're perfect, it's a band-aid. And people have actually changed their language from just saying perfect. And I said, I didn't say it to make you feel guilty, but I'm just pointing out the dynamics. But Prabhupada was like perfect. I mean, he just did everything so expertly. So we're in San Francisco, and it's starting to grow. Now, Prabhupada, the Swami, gets off the Vyasasan. We finally have mridangas from India, and we have actual kartals that sound like kartals, and we have a manuscript of Chaitanya Chaitanmatra, a manuscript, and we have a Back to Godhead, Western edition, and the Back to Godhead was done on a mimeograph machine. That's an ancient, primitive form of printing, folks. It's messy and has ink, but that was our Back to Godhead. Those were wonderful days with the Swami sitting in between us and spoon-feeding us. So now he's on the Vyasasan. And Govinda Dasi's parents from Texas. And now there's a congregation. Now the people from India are coming because they saw, well, this isn't just a hippie thing. It's not just Dalmari Dum. It's a hippie thing. And they're coming, and the ambassador's coming. And the whole Patel clan from Gujarat came. And Govinda Dasi's parents, and they're from Texas. In Texas, they think they're better from everybody else in the whole world. We're bigger and better than everything. I'm from Texas. And he says, he goes right up to the Vyasasan, right up there, in the right after we stopped chanting. And the Swami's sitting there. And the Swami's humble-looking and small. To somebody who hasn't felt his Shakti presence, Why does my daughter have to have an engine name? So the Patels come to hear the sublime shloka from the Bhagavad Gita that the Swami's going to say. They go up to the Vyasa-san too, because they think, well, he goes up, let's go up there. Well, the chief of the Patels had a gold tooth, and the light was bouncing off his tooth into Govindadasi's father's eye. So it made it worse. It was bing, bing. And he's saying again, why does my daughter have to have an engine name? Prabhupada, very clever. The Patels are there, and suddenly Mr. Govindadasi's father is looking like this, and he's going, Mr. McElroy, he's going like this. And Prabhupada says, he felt like he was General Custer surrounded by the Indians. Because he's going like this. You do not like Indians? You do not like Indians? Yeah, I like Indians, all right. I like engines, all right. But why does my daughter have to have an engine name? If she is happy, why do you object? I saw Prabhupada disarm Mahamsa's. I've saw him disarm so many parents. My father, when I was in the civil rights movement, he was afraid for my life, but he said, if it makes you happy, I'm happy. If that's what you choose. Most parents will do that. If it makes you, if it's not horrendous, even Hare Krishna eventually, oh, we didn't like that, but finally we see it's not so bad. There's some nice people, and you're not shooting heroin anymore, so that's really cool. Actually, Annapurna's father had to finally, he wrote the sporting line for the newspaper, the horse thing. He finally had to admit that his daughter was in a better place. You do not like Indians? And the kirtans were very long and sweet. And so now, everybody's coming off their trips and they're to come to the Krishna temple, and they're really liking it, and the love feasts. Prabhupada told us about, well, we can have these love feasts. And we used to have them in the middle of the day, and I liked it in the middle of the day. Sunday nights, at any rate, it's just a logistic thing. It's not a great thing, but it was nice. Well, I was told this wonderful story by our Madhavisamaras. Now here's another example of Chaitra Guru. I was told, go telephone Madhavisa Maharaj. And without a moment's hesitation, because I saw the efficacy of Chaitra Guru and how you have to follow it and how it's successful, and I telephoned him, and I said, did you go to the Rath Yatra? And he said, yes, he was in a wheelchair. He was leaving his body recently, and that's why I thought I should call him. And we spoke for 20 minutes, and finally he said, Gurudas, I have to go. I'm very tired. Well, he actually left the planet that night. So Chaitra Guru, if I didn't do it, I would have been so hurt and so foolish to procrastinate. And then there was this great closure. And the person who was with him said that conversation just made him feel so good. It just made him feel so good. And she was reading my book to him. So, another great devotee, Yeoman. I'll tell you two Madhavisa stories that he told me. The first one I'm getting to is the love feast. So there are new brahmacharis now, and we have our own language, Christian language, you know. And at first it was even more prevalent. Everybody was imitating Prabhupada. You know, scholars scholars who learned literature and could speak very good English were speaking like Buffalo Bill and the Indians because Prabhupada was learning English. They would decrease their English because they were imitating. And Prabhupada didn't want us to imitate. He wanted us to flower ourselves. Anyway, new brahmacharis, he came from Morningstar Ranch with Tamal and Vishnujan Rabadinandan. So the Krishna language was, we were lusting after prasadam. And it was Jamuna and Malati, Janaki cooking. And so he would try to smell what was in the pots. Oh, is that dal? Well, we had so many people. We had two plastic tarps down. And it would go all the way out to the street. We had double Dutch doors that Samashinda made. And there were people all the way out in the street. So Manavisa and the brahmacharis are there in the front. And Jamuna and Malati and Janaki decided that they would feed everybody but make plates instead of just... They made plates. And handed it all the way to the people outside. So Madhavisa and the brahmacharis, lusting after prasadam, had to pass all the prasadam and then wait till the end. The next week, they go outside. So they could be first. These are the early days. We didn't have that much to do, you know. So people were buying pens and watches. Because it was tough. We were sleeping on our dhotis and saris. In fact, there was only one dhoti and one sari in the movement at one time. And it was tough. So I pointed out that the African kings used to get pens for status too, but they didn't need the bottom part. They would just have the top part sticking out of their leopard thing. Okay, so we had our pens and our compensation, but prasadam was the big thing. So Madhavisa goes out there, and now Jamuna and Malati and Janaki decide to feed everybody in the front first. So that was one. But the other funnier story, and you know, the thing is, you never really could tell of what Prabhupada was going to do. It's not precedent. It's not in the Vedic literatures. You never see Lord Chaitanya tie up a microphone with a Brahmin thread, which Prabhupada did one time out of necessity, because there's just no precedent for Prabhupada. You never knew what he was going to do, and it was so delightful. And here's an example. Madhavisa, who had a very attractive personality for ladies and was a ladies' man, so to speak, now had become sannyasi, so he was even more serious. I mean, he really had to be serious about this yatra, this ashrama. So he was very fixed up. Well, what does our Srila Prabhupada do? We were making the most beautiful deities in Jayapur. Years and years, Vrindavan Chandra, and even the Prabhupada Murti, we didn't accept two of them. I took 360-degree photos of Prabhupada for the Murti, and the Murti is not done before the Guru, the Acharya, leaves the planet. So Vrindavan was a very special thing. These deities and this whole thing that was going on for years and years, we had to live with these folks. Jamuna and I went there, we moved in, and actually it was really nice because we slept in the deity rooms of unfinished deities. It was really a nice experience. But I digress. So, Madhavisa is very staunch. And our Prabhupada sends him to Jayapur with Jamuna alone to oversee the finalization of the deities. Alone. Madhavisa is telling me this story years later. He's saying, And his voice got higher. This is funny. He said, I had to ride in a rickshaw with her, and the rickshaw was small and she was big. And I couldn't help touching her, and I had to put my thunder in between us, but... But 2 days, he says, but 2 days after I was in her association, I saw that gender didn't matter at all. She was such a great devotee that just, she was just doing the service, and that's all that mattered. And she didn't like artificiality. Prabhupada didn't like artificiality. So many examples. We do not want to charm people into becoming devotees. We do not want to cajole them. They have to become devotees by their decision, strong. Something easily learned is easily forgotten. Something learned hard is hard to forget. We do not like artificiality. Somebody tattled on me for selling the hippies $309 worth of books in New York. Nobody would sell them. It was the Siddhasrupananda's folks from Hawaii. They were really good devotees. I met them in London, Tushita Krishna and all of them. I said, move in, but they said, we have a guru. They were devotees, but they were also hippies, and the president of the New York Temple wouldn't sell them any books. Well, I knew them, so I just went and said, please, I'm not going to say the devotee's name. Can I have the key? Sure. So I opened up the book room, selling the books. Well, somebody tattles to the president. Gurudas sold Mridangas, kartals, and books to those hippies from Hawaii. And he went and told Prabhupada on me. So Prabhupada calls me in. Did you sell books and Mridanga kartals to those people from Hawaii? Not hippie. To those people? Well, the first time I tried to even, like, not really lie, but kind of bend the truth. Like, not even bend it, like, little. He busted me immediately. Every time. So it was futile. I had to take my medicine. And so I said yes. And the president was there. Look, Gurdas is getting in trouble. Gurdas is getting in trouble. Prabhupada says, they're reading my books? They're chanting Hare Krishna and playing Mridangan kartals? He did a mock thing. The man, one time, Tamal Krishna, all this money and a life membership comes in, and Tamal's hiding the money. Prabhupada says, why hide the money? We're using it nicely, and money makes money. So we were hiding. He didn't like artificiality. He didn't like tattletales. He didn't like pettiness. He didn't. So here we are in the temple, and we've got the manuscript of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, and now there's a lot of devotees. And the Swami says, this is a special day. It's Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. Just like now, there's so much special things going on. And now soon we're going to have the new marathons and everything. It's just a special time of the day. Everybody's saying thank you, Thanksgiving. In the Czech Republic, they asked me, what is Thanksgiving? I said, it's a time to thank Krishna, they're devotees, a time to thank Krishna for all the blessings he's given you. And they said, what's the history in the United States? I said, well, the white people came and gave the Native Americans gave the white settlers yams and corn and wisdom, and the white settlers gave the Native Americans slavery and disease, which is true, and they're writing it down. Yeah, yeah, this is the history of Thanksgiving, yeah. Anyway, so here we are in the temple, and the Swami says, this is Chaitanya's appearance day, and so do not leave the temple. And we're still new and everything, kind of restless. He said, chant japa, chant kirtan, and then read the manuscript of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita that I have. And so we're chanting and reading and doing japa, but suddenly Jivananda, is he still in Glastonbury? Is he in Britain? Uh-huh. Well, if he's here, let me know. We'll see him. So Jivananda, he came from Texas, and he ate prasadam, and he never left. Some people, that's enough. Everybody comes for different attractions. So Jivananda and Jayananda. Now, Jayananda was standing out. He was the president of San Francisco. He already stood out. He was older. He was mature. He gave $5,000 to the Swami. He was a tireless, tireless worker. He was already standing out, even before Rathiatra. He was. I was vice president. He looks over Jayananda and Jivananda, and they look at me, and they go, they were signaling, let's go outside and chant. You know, we're in the temple, but let's go outside with our new mridanga and our kartals that aren't clunky. And I gave my apartment to the Swami. It was a beautiful apartment with parquet floors and a piano. But the Swami should have it. And I moved into Jimun and I moved into Jayananda's place, and they moved into the basement of the temple, and where Brother David, the founder of the Children of God, had an altar, and it had Jesus and Krishna and everything, and the altar burnt up except for Krishna. So he left. But he left his car, which had Hare Krishna on it. So Jayananda was now the head of the brahmacharis. And he goes like that. So we go to my, just around the corner where the apartment was that I gave to Prabhupada, Swamiji. And we're chanting, and it's on the second floor, and he comes to the window, and he goes like that. And we thought, oh no, I've never been chastised by the Swami. He didn't chastise anybody then. He was spoon-feeding us. But I don't think it's going to really feel good if he tells us to not do something. He's telling us what to do, and it's so nice, but now he's telling us, go away? He never told us. He's always, in fact, I used to go into his room. When I first met him, I said, I'm going to go hang out with the Swami. And I was in his room so much that the other assistants said, don't let Gurudas in anymore, because he's always with the Swami. But see, Krishna is very intelligent. I didn't know that they said, don't let Gurudas in anymore. So I'd go there, and there I am, and they're coming back from the kitchen. Oh, no, Gurudas is there again. And Swamiji's smiling. He's smiling like that. He's not saying go away. He never told us go away. So then he's telling us go away. So we're crestfallen, the three of us, and we're going down the hill back to the temple. It was only a block and a half away. And Upendra comes running out with his little dhoti swishing behind him. And he said, the Swami wants to see you. We said, oh, no. Not any detail. Let's go. Now he's going to chastise us and tell us to go away personally. So we went up, and we had never been chastised, but we kind of felt, oh, this might not be so good. But to that time, the Swamiji was just all smiles and encouraging, and seeing the good in this, and do calligraphy, do photography, serve. And it was so nice. And we get in the room, and he's smiling huge, and he said, Lord Chaitanya has given you the intelligence, this is called Chaitanya Guru again, to chant outside the temple. So you're chanting in the temple all the time. Now I want you to go every day in the street and chant outside the temple. And this is called Harinam Sim Kirtan. So now we're coming up with the big marathon. Thank you very much.